Reading is taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, starting from verse 6, ending chapter 3, verse 4. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in this uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it on the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadows of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility, and worship of angels disqualify you, such as a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with their idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost the connection with the head, of whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows on God, causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to this, to its rules? Do not handle, do not test, do not touch these rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not merely earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory.
Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can be here together this morning. And whatever sort of a week that it has been, show us what it is, what we have in Christ. Amen. Well, anyone wake up this morning with a child in their bed?
Middle of the night,
yes. Yeah, so a couple of hands there. Now, I never get to experience this. I've got the whole bed to myself, so I can wake up whenever I like or when the alarm goes off. But for some of you, you might have that privilege of waking up at any time in the night with a child right there in your face. Now, I'm thinking there's a whole number of things that you get to do because of your child. What's true for your child becomes true for you just because of that relationship that you have as parent and child. So, well, they get to learn to swim, so you get to learn to swim with them. Or they get to dance, so you too, you get to sit through and enjoy their dance concert as well. Not only theirs, but every other child as well. We're going to see today how this is true for us and Christ. The things that we get to do with Christ because of our faith with Him. So I've tried to draw in this little picture what we've looked at, where we've been the last few weeks. So this is our third week in this series, Vision Series, and we've been in Colossians. So we've seen that it's all about Christ. He is the center. He's the number one in creation. He is number one in the church. And all these things are true about Him. And then in the next slide, gets a little bit messier. So we have faith in Him. We've come to believe in Him, that these things are true about Him. This is what we believe. And we've said, as a church, we're wanting to connect people to Him. We're wanting to cultivate faith in Him. There's our last 2 weeks in 30 seconds. All right, have a look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Let me read from verse 9. It says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ." You have been given fullness in Christ. What does that mean? We've seen the supremacy of Christ, that it's all about Him. In Him, that the fullness of the deity dwells. And if you're a Christian, we have been filled in Him. Now, what does that mean? Paul goes on to explain further. And this is really what we're going to try to understand through the rest of this passage. There's going to be some things here we don't talk about. We're going to try to understand what it means that we are filled in Him. Whatever it means, we're about to see what that is. You can say, if you've got Christ, you're winning. To be filled with Christ, whatever that means, which we will see, you're winning. All right, well, what does it mean for us to be filled in Him? If you've got your handout there, the outline, there's four things that we're going to look at. And they show our participation with Christ, how we share in Christ. And one person has wonderfully described it as being stuck to Him. So what happens to Him happens to us, or is true for us. So the four things, we died with Christ, we've been raised with Christ, we live with Christ, and we will be glorified with Christ. So we'll see through these four things how we have fullness in Christ. So firstly, we have died with Christ. And verses 11 and 12 help us to see this. Now this is probably the hardest to understand of the four. I think mainly because of the language that he uses. Because Paul, he doesn't straight up use the words, "we have died with Christ." Although I think that is what he's saying, but he uses a metaphor, which to our ears sounds a little strange, at least it does to mine. His metaphor, he's talking about dying, his metaphor is circumcision, and talking about death. So verse 11, "In Him, in Christ, you were circumcised, not by man, but by Christ." So not a small bit of flesh, but the putting off of the flesh, or as the NIV has it, the sinful nature. So dying to self, or dying to the flesh, the sinful nature. Now, why doesn't he just say you have died with Christ like he does in verse 20? He says it there. But here, I don't know. Maybe what sounds a little strange to us here didn't to them. Our circumcision, and I don't really want to keep using that word, but I can't say the C word because that's not any better. It was a big thing for the Jews. As far as they were concerned, you had to be circumcised, and those who were not, you had to be circumcised. You had the two groups, those who are, those who are not. If you were, then you're Israel. You're God's people. You belong to Him. But everyone else, they're not God's people. They're the Gentiles. They're the nations. So Paul is saying here, and this is quite a radical thing. He's saying that you can be God's people without being circumcised by the death of Christ. And in that, it is like you are circumcised. You do belong to God. You've made the cut by His death. So, by His death, we are filled with Christ. They've become part of the people of God. Not by how it was done, but it's by the death of Christ. That is how these people have come to be part of Israel, part of God's people. That makes sense? Yes, maybe. Verse 12 then says, having been buried with Him. So died with Him, buried with Him. And this language can throw us as well. Because it says buried with Him in baptism. So I think we immediately think water and being baptized, immersed in water. And in baptism we do talk about dying to self, dying to sin. But baptism here again is talking about His death, buried with Him in death. So in Christ, our believers have shared in His death fully and completely, to the point that Paul can say, you have been buried with Him. Which means a decisive end to our old life, a life which is all about me rather than Christ. Now, you could say, how is this so? Like, none of us, we weren't there when He died, when He was buried, which, of course, that's right. But by faith in Him, by believing in Him, there's a sense that His death is also our death. So His death, He did it for us, so much so that we can say that we died and we were buried with Him. We are in Christ, so what has happened to Him has happened to us. And it's true for us. Now, there's a helpful illustration for this. If you think of a plane, and you are in that plane. And so, whatever happens to that plane also happens to you. So the plane flies to Singapore, you fly to Singapore. The plane flies through turbulence, you fly through turbulence. The plane lands safely, you land safely. Now we're not in a plane, we're in Christ. And so He dies and is buried, and therefore so do we. And in that, we have fullness in Christ. We participate with Christ in that what has happened to Him has also happened for us because of our faith in Him. Right? We are so stuck with Him that what is true for Him, we get to share in it as well, and it is true for us. Which It can be hard to get our head around, and it's quite profound when you think of just what this means. Now, he didn't stay dead. He rose. God raised him to life again. The wonderful good news of Jesus, of the gospel, is that he is alive. And so we too have been raised, which is the second point. We've been raised with Christ. Verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So the power of God that has raised Jesus has also raised us. Verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. So we were dead in sin. We were alienated from God. But now we've been made alive with Christ. Now we are reconciled. Now we are forgiven. So this is another way that we are filled with Christ, the fullness of Christ, that we are raised with him. So the fullness of our participation with Christ, we have died with him, we've been raised with him. Now you might be thinking, now, this is all well and good and this might be true. I sort of get it and believe it, that I have died with him and been raised with him. But it's not what it looks like. And it's not what it feels like. Have you thinking that, or you've thought that ever? All right, this is true, but it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't seem to be the case. You might think, I don't feel or look much different to anyone else who's trying to make a living and go to work and raise the kids and keep the house in order. And this could be because your life is hidden with Christ, which is point three. We live with Christ. Because the thing is, our life, this life of dying with him and being raised with him, it is hidden with Christ. It's not seen for all that it is. It's true, we've got it now, but there's the now and not yet. It is true, but there's a sense where it's still to come or to be seen in all its glory. Now there's quite a lot in this world which is true and real, but we don't see it. I don't know, you go out tonight, look at the night sky, have a look up. There's so much up there, it's there, but we don't see it, not with our eye. All the planets are there, but we can't necessarily see them. You might be able to see Jupiter, but did you know Jupiter has 67 moons? Now, we can't see them, not with our eye anyway. You might be able to see four of them if you've got the right equipment. Right? There are things that are real, that are true, but we can't necessarily see them. Well, then they're not seen for what they are. Colossians 3, 1-3 speaks of this for our life now. So I have skipped over the warnings in Chapter 2, verses 16 to 23. Maybe in our life groups we'll consider those this week. So our life now, chapter 3. Now, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So being raised with Christ is to make a difference to our life now. Right, we've been given something new to seek. We've got a new direction, a new goal, a new purpose. So we seek that. We seek that which is above. We seek Christ. That which pertains to him and his kingdom. We've now been brought into his kingdom. So our life is to be more and more about the kingdom rather than the earthly sinful things of this world. It's a renewing of the mind, or a recalibration of the mind, to be more and more on Christ, on the things above, on the kingdom, rather than on us. Why? Verse 3. Why? For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So it's hidden with Christ in God. It's not seen in all its fullness. We've been given fullness in Christ. We just mightn't see it right now for all that it is. But we will. When he returns, when he comes, when he appears, we will. We'll experience it, we'll know it, we'll see it in all its fullness. So the fourth point, we will be glorified with Christ. Verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is our hope, isn't it? The return of Jesus, him appearing, and us appearing with him in glory, in his glory. Reality, it will be all revealed. What is hidden now will no longer be so. He will be seen for who he really is, and so will we, for we are with him. Now, it can be hard to get our head around this, because so much of it is not seen right now. And when we're so much a part of this life, it can be hard to really think about and know these things which are more spiritual in their reality. But when we stop and take a glimpse at what is being said here, we see that we are part of something that is really big. We're part of what God is doing. How does this fit in with our launch series and with our purpose number 3, which we're meant to be looking at this morning? Well, come back to our recap picture. So Christ is there in the center. It's all about him, Christ, in the supremacy of Christ. Our faith is in him. Our life is in him. And all of God's fullness, it doesn't only dwell in Christ, but we've been filled with the fullness of Christ as well. Right? If you're a Christian, if you believe in these things about Christ, then you have been filled with the fullness of Christ. So we participate with him in the most profound way. Right? That's worth living. That's worth celebrating and rejoicing in. Which is our purpose number 3, so down the bottom on the left. Celebrating life with him. We want to connect people to him. We want to cultivate our faith in him. But we can celebrate life with him as well. We can rejoice. There should be a joy in us because of Christ being in us, because of our sharing with Christ. So maybe when you've had enough of work, or the kids, or the Wi-Fi, when you're tired, when you're struggling, maybe take a step back and maybe take a few deep breaths, have a cup of tea, and just remember who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. And yes, it mightn't be seen right now for all it is, and there's a hundred other things going on in your mind and things that you've got to do, but remember who you are in Christ, what you have with Christ. Right, that gives us reason to be thankful, to celebrate. And whatever is going on in your life, we can still have joy in the Lord. Whatever else is happening because of Christ's work in us. Right, it gives us reason, doesn't it, to come together every week. To come together as His people and to worship Him. Right? Not coming for us, but to come together as His people and worship Him. To come together and sing His praises because He is worthy. To come together and hear His word. To hear Him speak. To come together and for us to pray to Him, the God of this whole world. We are His people, and so we can come together to spur one another on that whatever is happening in our life, to keep hanging on to Him, to keep having faith in Him. So we come together and we spur one another on to continue on in the faith and to live out our life with Him. So the joy of the Lord. We're about to sing it again. We've been filled with Christ. That means we've been filled with the joy of the Lord as well. And that is true whatever life throws at you. Now let's pray. Father, we can struggle to understand this or fully comprehend just what it means to be filled with Christ or to have the fullness of Christ. But it really is quite amazing what it is that we have with Christ. To think that we have died with Him, we've been raised with Him, our life is hidden with Him, and we will appear with Him, we'll be glorified with Him. Father, we have reason to celebrate, reason to rejoice, to be filled with joy because we've been filled with Christ. So help us now to sing joy to the Lord. Amen.